Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Michael J., and this is Hypothetical. Back this week, once again, producer extraordinaire, man behind the boards, Evgeny. Welcome back to the show. How are you?
Doing pretty good. I think I've been on the show enough times now that I can officially move in. So when are you opening up the guest bedroom?
I didn't realize that we had a house.
Yeah. Where else do you think I've been parking the semis?
At a hypothetical house.
You really don't get out much, do you? They're like sitting in front of your house.
No, I do. I just take the back roads.
Oh. By the way, you did really good on the intro. My coaching is paying off.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but okay. Thanks.
No, I was trying to make myself feel better for butchering the intro 8 times before we actually hit record.
Someday you can aspire to do hypothetical intros.
I hope I never have to cover this show. The stuff that goes on in your head to come up with these topics. Like, seriously, man, your head is a national treasure.
Why, thank you.
Something to be lost and forgotten for hundreds of years.
Still a treasure. Focusing on the positive.
There you go.
Speaking of treasures, our warm-up games are always a national treasure. So tonight, you came up with the warm-up game. Tell everyone what the warm-up game is tonight.
So for tonight's warm-up game, we're going to each come up with a warm-up game. I want to hear who, what, when, where, and why. So who you're going to play the warm-up game with, what you're going to play, why you're going to play it, where you're going to play it, and just go through it. So give me what you got. What's your warm-up game?
Okay, well, this sort of broke my mind a little bit.
I know, it's complete inception, isn't it?
It's like meta inception, like Hall of Mirrors. I'm kind of broken again, but...
That's what you get for going to pick up your daughter from dance class while you're still trying to figure out what we're going to talk about.
I figured out what I'm going to do here.
Okay.
I'm going to create a warm-up game with the Forbes list of richest people. So we'll take like the, say, top 400 from that list.
Okay.
We're going to go down to Necker Island, where that island that Richard Branson owns, that private island, because that looks cool.
Ooh.
I can bask in the sun while these rich people get involved with creating this warm-up game. And what the game is going to be is the rich people are going to bet on what they think my next warm-up game is going to be.
Okay.
And they're going to gamble a whole lot of money. And then there'll be lots of side bets, prop bets, like crazy stuff like who will get mentioned first in a warm-up game, Bob Saget or... Saved by the Bell or something.
Oh, wow.
How many mankinis show up in an episode?
Oh, God.
You know, stuff like that. So my warm-up game is going to be me creating more warm-up games, but the Forbes 400 richest people are going to be betting on what they think the next warm-up game is going to be.
Okay.
I'm basically turning it into a sports book or a podcast book, I guess. Okay. On Necker Island, just because that sounds delightful right now when we're in the middle of an early winter.
Yeah, Texas did what it always did and pushed the weather away from us. So it's been pretty nice here, but I could definitely use an island right now.
So what about you? What kind of warm game are you going to create?
This one, when I was thinking about it, it was kind of an inception type thing. Because the warm-up games you come up with are sometimes decent, like grocery shopping. Sometimes disturbing, like igloos.
You made it disturbing.
Sometimes murderous, like skydiving.
Mine was totally normal.
Yeah, yours was normal, but seriously. When you've got people like me and Scott on your show, where Scott's going to kill people with skydiving during the game, and I'm going to build an igloo out of cows.
Yes.
Which, by the way, listening back to that episode, why did you let me keep that in?
Why not? I mean, real-time follow-up. Did you see that giant cow in Australia?
Oh, my goodness. That thing is huge.
You could really increase the size of your igloo with that.
Yeah, but did you see they're not taking that cow to the slaughterhouse because he literally won't fit in the machinery.
Right. So he can make a great igloo.
Good point. But enough being sidetracked by my next hamburger. For the warm-up game, kind of sticking with your theme here because it's kind of interesting. I wouldn't do it on a private island, but we would strap a whole bunch of machines to you, like a polygraph and something that can read your mind and project the images on a big screen.
All right, let's move on to the main game.
And the whole purpose of this game is predicting what your thought would be to listening back to each of the main games. So the warm-up game is placing bets on what your first thought would be to Scott talking about skydiving in the shark-infested waters. And then it gets projected onto the screen.
Okay. Can I place bets too?
No.
Oh, this could be easy money.
So for who, we're bringing in Penn and Teller.
Okay.
Bringing in Rodney Carrington.
Okay.
Bringing in the cast of Full House.
Oh, this is awesome.
All wearing mankinis.
Less awesome. I mean,
except for the women.
Yeah. If it's just the guys, I mean, teach their own, but.
Yeah. Bob Saget in a mankini reading your thoughts. Go.
Okay. Well, I don't have to look at him, so I can just listen to him, which would be awesome. I'm sure it'll be hilarious. So.
I just made myself cringe a little inwardly thinking of Bob Saget wearing a mankini trying to read your thoughts.
So you do this to yourself every time.
I know I do. I do this every time I'm on this show.
So and you're going to have Penn and Teller, Cast of Full House, Rodney Carrington, a whole bunch of people trying to read my mind and betting on it somehow.
And here's where it all comes together.
Okay.
I'm going to bring in Weird Al, and he's going to write a parody based off of each image that comes up.
So he's writing a parody of a parody.
Yes. Although, here's something. If Bob Saget comes up while Bob Saget is there, can we get stuck in a never-ending loop of Bob Saget?
I don't see what the problem is.
I think I just broke myself. Let's move on to the main game.
That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
For tonight's main game, we are going to create a new Hall of Fame. I want to know what and or whom does your Hall of Fame honor? What are the criteria for earning induction into your Hall of Fame? Where will your Hall of Fame be located? Describe what your Hall of Fame will look like, if there's any attractions, monuments, tours, stuff like that. What and or who will be the first group inducted into your Hall of Fame? And what do inductees receive at their induction? So we know there's like the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and the Baseball Hall of Fame, and the Hockey Hall of Fame, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and the Broadcasting Hall of Fame. There's tons of Hall of Fames out there. You know, some of them, right, like Football Hall of Fame, they give every inductee a yellow jacket. It's really ugly.
Yeah, it is. It's a pretty fugly jacket.
And I think baseball players, or the Baseball Hall of Fame, they get like bronze plaques or something. I'm not sure what else, but that's what I want to know for your Hall of Fame. What are you going to be honoring?
Every year, thousands of people try to get into the Guinness Book of World Records.
Yep.
And there are some spectacular failures.
Like where this is going?
So this Hall of Fame is going to be honoring the best of the worst.
Okay.
And it won't be the Guinness Book of World Records. It'll be the Coors Light Hall of Failure.
Okay.
I mean, because we're going from a good beer to a bad beer. There's where the pun is.
Sure. I don't drink beer, so.
Right. So that's why I kind of felt like I had to explain it to you there for a second.
I appreciate that.
So the criteria here, and you can be bumped out of this Hall of Fame. That's what makes it so beautiful. So for each world record.
Does that kind of defeat the purpose?
No.
The Hall it's of my fame
Hall
is...
of Fame, damn it.
Okay.
You have to keep your fame. So if you want to stay in this Hall of Fame.
So are you an inductee into your own Hall of Failure because you failed to live up to what a Hall of Fame is?
It's the only way that I can keep my perpetual spot in the Hall of Fame. So yes, thank you for seeing right through my thin charade.
No problem.
But yeah, the whole purpose here, if you want to be in the hall, you can only have, so we're going to have one entry per record that's recognized in the Guinness Book.
Okay.
But it's whoever has the most spectacular failure. So like for the person that has the record for most dominoes in a domino stacking or domino toppling thing, pattern, whatever you want to call it. The one who would be in my Hall of Fame would be the one that set up the domino that would tie the record and then accidentally nudged it, nullifying 48 hours of painstaking, backbreaking work to set up all the dominoes as they just scatter.
Okay, that makes sense.
Well, you know, that person worked their butt off and they failed spectacularly.
Right, so it's very nice of you to recognize them as a failure.
Or the person who does a belly flop while trying to break the world high dive record.
Right, okay. I mean, I could totally get behind this Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, even the losers need a place to be honored.
That's right.
Now, I mean, if you're not the best loser, then you're not being honored, so you still suck. But if you're the best loser, then hey, second place actually gets you something.
Right.
Although in this case, it's not always second place. So like for a sports thing,
yeah,
the longest hole in one that Guinness Book does,
yeah.
I guess mine would be the longest golf shot that actually injured a person enough to where they had to go to the hospital.
It wouldn't be like the longest almost hole in one where the guy misses by like an inch.
Ooh.
I mean, both could work.
Yeah, that is so painful. That actually brings back my childhood. I used to play golf in high school, and I actually had on a short par four, so it's only like 340 yards. I drive the green in one, it hits the pin, and it bounces 5 feet back.
Yep.
I was so depressed for a week after that.
Well, hey, I mean, should be happy that you landed on the green.
I should be happy, but
you know, should is the operative word there.
Right. So this kind of all ties it in though, where it should be located.
Yeah.
So you've got like where are most of your Hall of Fames? Baseball is in the one that starts with a C. What is it?
It's in Cooperstown, which is in New York.
I keep wanting to say Cupertino, but that's just Apple.
Basketball is in Massachusetts, Springfield, Massachusetts.
Right. I think
football's in Canton, Ohio, hockey's in Toronto, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's in Cleveland. I think the Broadcasting Hall of Fame is in Chicago. Or at least the Broadcast Museum is. I don't know if there's a Hall of Fame.
I think I would want to locate my Hall of Fame right next to the new Apple headquarters.
Okay.
That way, when they eventually fail and their stock prices plummet, they can be inducted and the walk for whoever their CEO is a very short walk. I know those were fighting words for so many people. To be fair, people listening to this, I am platform agnostic. I enjoy the iPhone and the Mac, but I'm currently going through an Android and PC phase. Don't hate me.
Back up for a second. I have a question about your criteria.
Mm-hmm.
Since the criteria is more based on judgments than on measured results,
mm-hmm.
I assume you're going to have like a group of evaluators to determine who gets in.
Remove the plural.
You're going to have a group of evaluators.
Change it
to me. Okay. So you're...
And increase my salary to $58 million a year.
Okay. You're going to have to pay yourself that because you're the one creating this Hall of Fame. Don't forget.
Ticket sales, man. Okay. Ticket sales.
All right.
I know you're not too much into the whole YouTube thing, but there's a lot of stuff about people doing stupid stuff. And if I open up a Hall of Fame to spectacular failures,
yeah,
that's going to be really good ticket sales. Like I could charge like $75 a head for that.
Okay. So at this overly expensive Hall of Fame,
mm-hmm.
what kind of attractions are you going to have there? Or what kind of displays are you going to have there? Describe your Hall of Fame.
Each week, we're going to have a rotating panel of inductees. So once you're inducted, you can actually make the rounds and come in and do meet and greets. Okay. So one week, you can meet Domino Guy. The other week, you can meet the guy that was almost crushed to death by a pallet of Rubik's Cubes while he was trying to make some record-breaking attempt. So you can become famous for your failure.
Is this going to be like the Hollywood Walk of Fame racket? The celebrity has to pay for their star on the Walk of Fame. Like the inductees have to pay to be placed in your Hall of Failure.
No, there will be, it'll be a nice, like kind of a upscale hostel type thing where they come in for the week. We have a full kitchen, fully staffed, making whatever they want to eat for that week. They've got a daily food stipend of $50 a day that they can either eat out or eat in. They've got a full, like, 3-room apartment to themselves, or they can bring family if they want. It's entirely up to them.
Okay.
these people sucked at sucking, so they have to at least have one thing go right.
So you can provide therapy to them too?
We will have on-site therapists, yes. Mm-hmm. All of them wearing mankinis.
That's your choice, man.
You know, the mankini will also have a permanent place in my Hall of Fame. The biggest fashion failure of all time.
Fair enough. Can't really argue that.
He agreed.
So there's going to be meet and greets. There's going to be a huge mankini display. What else are we going to see at your Hall of Fame?
So aside from the meet and greets, we're going to have interactive challenge stations. So certain records will actually have, can you best this failure? Can you fail more spectacularly?
Or are you now, better than the failure?
Right. So we could actually have someone be unseated during the week that they're doing the meet and greet.
Okay.
Now that would also require a whole bunch of waivers and lawyers. One lawyer. So we'll resurrect the corpse of Johnny Cochran. Wait, is he dead yet?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. We'll resurrect him and have him be our lawyer and make sure that the pain waivers are solid. That way nothing can come back on me, because I need to make sure that my $58 million a year is mine.
Okay.
Hey, I don't need people getting hurt at my place.
I find it a little ironic that you're hiring a successful lawyer for a Hall of Failure. Seems like you should bring in like Chris Darden or Marshall Clark for lawyers from the OJ trial.
Oh, that's painful.
Well, that's sort of the purpose of your Hall of Fame, if I'm not mistaken here.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, wow. Wow, you just win on that one.
Why, thank you.
Which also means you can't get into the Hall of Fame for bad ideas. But, you know, that actually brings up one thing. If I'm going to bring back Johnny Cochran, then my inductees should get something interesting. Everyone gives out a jacket. Jackets are so blasé. When you're inducted into my Hall of Failure, you get...
a silver medal?
No. A silver glove that's just slightly too small.
So you're going with the Johnny Cochran theme?
Gotta stick with Cochran, man.
If it doesn't fit, gotta quit.
So that also means that when you come in, when you're inducted, you have to...
Do you get one glove like Michael Jackson?
Yes. Okay. And it is the left glove.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, Michael Jackson had it right. If you're gonna glove a hand, make sure that it's the best glove, the glove that everyone's going to see. And he did a lot of his dance moves with that one hand. So it made sense. Michael was a visionary, man.
Yes, I am.
wow.
So speaking of Michael Jackson, will his doctor be inducted into your Hall of Fame?
No. Right now that award actually goes to the doctor who prescribed all the, medical cocktail that ended up killing Heath Ledger.
Okay.
Man, seriously. He's responsible for prescribing all the pills that killed the best Joker that has ever joked.
Okay.
Got to admit, man, Heath Ledger was the best Joker ever.
I don't know. I've never seen any of those Batman movies.
Oh, man, you're missing out.
You say that a lot when it comes to me in movies.
So if he had been in Slapshot, then you would have...
If he played the Joker in Slapshot, yeah, I probably would agree that he was the best Joker of all time.
Although, where would the Joker fit in Slapshot?
I don't know. He'd be a ride in the bench.
And then the bench explodes and everyone goes flying.
Backup goalie, maybe.
Oh, wow.
Maybe he could be like a coach. Scare his players straight.
Oh, wow. So, what are you going to do for your Hall of Fame?
Well, you know my story. I've got a couple options here.
Wait, you're doing two Hall of Fames?
No, three.
What?
Yeah, but I haven't really thought these through, so you're going to have to help me here. And then you can tell me which one to build first. They're not the Hall of Failure, but they're going to have to do.
Yevgeny, when you hear this later, just remind yourself to go get coffee at this point, because it's going to be a long edit.
It's not going to be very long. Like I said,
he says that now. He said three. Just remember, he said three.
Yes, but I haven't thought them through, so I don't have a lot of information here.
Yeah, but you know I always riff off of you.
Okay, fine. So I'll just jump right into it then.
Okay, what's the first
one? Which would you like first? Option one, option two, or option three?
Let's go behind door number three.
All right, we're going to start with option one.
Oh, thanks.
I'm going to create a Hall of Fame for drug lords.
Okay.
So I've been fascinated by the El Chapo trial that's going on right now.
Okay.
In New York. You know, he's one of the biggest drug kingpins of all time.
Right.
And I hearing all these stories that are coming out of the trial, like how much drugs they moved and how they did it and all this money and stuff. I don't know. I find it fascinating. So I'm going to create a Hall of Fame for drug lords. The criteria for induction, I think, will be you have to have moved, I don't know, maybe $50 or $100 million in product.
So enough cocaine to hide a Buick behind.
Oh, way more. They were literally shipping cocaine by the train load.
I'm trying to imagine that much cocaine, and I just can't.
The numbers they're talking about in this trial are absolutely ridiculous. So we have a high bar set here by El Chapo. So you have to move a lot of product. I'm going to say you probably have to be accused of murder at some point.
Okay.
You don't actually have to have done that, but most drug lords are bad people. Probably all drug lords are.
We're going with that as a given that somebody has died during the making of this drug lord.
Yeah, probably. And you had to have led your own drug operations for at least 10 years.
10 years as a free person or 10 years in and out of prison?
As long as you're running your cartel or your group, whatever it is.
Okay.
Doesn't matter if you're in jail or a free man or a woman.
Okay.
You just have to have done it for at least 10 years to be
allowed. I like that rule. It keeps flash in the pan people from trying to usurp a real record holder.
Right, right. So,
can you hear the words coming out of my mouth?
Yeah.
Usurp a wow.
Yep.
Okay, keep going. You have me intrigued.
All right. I got to figure out where to locate this.
Colombia.
Well, that's an easy answer. I think to honor those that are being honored in this Hall of Fame, I think this Hall of Fame is going to have to be on the run at all times. It's kind of going to have to be in hiding, and you know, people just kind of know the spot, know a guy who knows a guy that can get you in.
I actually like that aspect of it. You could use one of the semis that I parked at your house.
Perfect. Keep my costs down.
You're still paying for the semi.
I'm hoping that the drug lords are going to appreciate the fact that somebody's finally honoring them, and they'll kick in some drug money to pay for all this.
Use the taco truck semi.
Well, I mean, there's drug lords all around the world, so.
This is true. That's kind of why I went with Colombia right off the bat. I think right now you could get away with it, and you wouldn't have to move it that much.
It's going to be kind of a mobile Hall of Fame because I'm going to keep it in hiding.
Okay.
There will be, I'm not sure how it's going to work because it is a moving Hall of Fame, but there will be some sort of tunnel aspect involved. probably some sort of tunneling exhibit.
Of course.
Right. To honor El Chapo. I mean, El Chapo definitely is part of the first group inducted, along with Pablo Escobar.
I was about to say, are you going to posthumously bring in Pablo?
Yeah. I mean, you can honor dead people in Hall of Fame.
Are you also going to like have an exhibit of drugs through the ages with like little excerpts about the scientific theories behind the first person to make crack or whatever?
Yeah, well, history of drugs, history of transportation of drugs.
The failure of Nancy Reagan.
Yeah, we'll have we'll have a create your own anti-drug program.
Okay.
So they'll be able to make like their own anti-drug campaign posters and buttons and stuff.
And for the adult, we'll do Fool the German Shepherd.
Yeah. We should have drug sniffing dogs for sure.
Drug sniffing dogs that you could adopt as long as you have a clean record.
I mean, even though it's honoring the people the dogs are trying to find, we'll still work them into this Hall of Fame somehow.
You know, that could be your final test for the inductees. They have to fool the dog to get in.
The problem with doing a drug lord Hall of Fame is that they'll never really have an induction ceremony that the drug lords can be at.
So they'd have to have like one of their fifth level lieutenants show up. That way they can be arrested.
Or family members or something.
Right.
So I think I could still give the inductees something. So I think what we'll do is we'll give them some commissary money.
Just give them some acquittal skittles.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, they can't get acquittal skittles if they're in jail.
I don't know, man. Some of those drug lords are pretty good about being acquitted.
Yes. I think a lot of them are, if not already dead, you know, behind bars. So, yeah. So you'll get commissary money if you're in jail. If you were acquitted, then I'll send you a pack of acquittal Skittles.
I think at that point, they should get a card for a lifetime supply.
No, they got their own money. If they got acquitted and they were dealing, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in drugs, they're not behind bars. And they've been doing it for over 10 years. I think they've got some cash somewhere.
Don't forget to lace your acquittal Skittles with some of their own product. That way they become hooked and pay you even more money.
Well, yeah, no, see, I'm anti-drug, so I'm not going to lace their Skittles with anything.
Fair enough. Okay. So, yeah, let's move on to door number two.
All right, door number two is much simpler. It actually kind of, in a way, relates to your Hall of Fame a little bit. I'm going to do Hall of Fame for sidekicks.
Okay.
Because like you, you know, not everybody gets recognized for being second.
Not everyone gets to be Batman.
That's right. So, you know, this is the Hall of Fame for like Robin from Batman and Robin and Ed McMahon and Sideshow Bob from The Simpsons.
And Stephen Colbert when he was still riding side saddle to Jon Stewart.
Yeah, I mean, he's questionable if he's going to meet the criteria to get into this Hall of Fame. Because I think the criteria is going to be something along the lines of you never have a show named after yourself.
Okay.
Which I guess eliminates Stephen Colbert right now.
Yeah, that does.
Always have somebody on your show that makes more money than you. Or it doesn't even have to, I mean, it doesn't have to be an entertainer. I mean, there's other sidekicks. You could be like the second best player on your professional sports team.
So like Wayne Brady on Whose Line Is It Anyway? No, because Wayne had his own show, but Colin Mockery didn't.
Yeah, but I don't know if they're sidekicks because that's like an ensemble.
They're still sidekicks.
I don't know if they're going to meet my criteria.
In my coffee-addled mind, they are still sidekicks.
Maybe you can have a sidekick wing of your Hall of Failures, and then you can invite Colin Mockery or whoever you want.
Fine.
Don't get me wrong. I love Colin Mockery. I think he's hilarious. But he won't, I don't think he's going to qualify for my sidekick
Hall of Fame. I wouldn't invite Colin into my Hall of Fame, but I would invite Ryan Stiles' shoes.
At least he keeps it real.
I love Stacey Adams' wingtips, but oh my God, some of those things were just overly gaudy.
Yeah. Glad to see you pay attention to the important stuff when you watch Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yeah. So we're talking about Robin. We're talking about just like the sidekicks. So yeah. Barnacle Boy from SpongeBob.
Yeah. Ed McMahon from The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson and Andy Richter, maybe from Conan's show.
Was he the redheaded guy?
I think so. Well, Conan was too.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The funny redheaded guy?
It could be. I haven't watched Conan O'Brien in a long time. So I have to figure out where I'm going to locate this Hall of Fame. And I think it should be like the second biggest city in a state.
If you're going to go with sidekicks, you could always do it in the city that was supposed to be the capital.
What's that?
New York. Or Philadelphia. They were both supposed to be the capital before DC happened.
Yeah, I mean, I assume Philly's bigger than Pittsburgh, right?
I think.
Maybe because
who really cares about Pennsylvania?
Right. Well, I'm saying like maybe Pittsburgh would be a good place for it.
Yeah. Yeah, that would work.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll keep working on that. So I'm not even sure what this Hall of Fame would look like or what kind of attractions or exhibits we'd have. But I know we charge more for type A personalities.
Okay.
Right, because those usually aren't the sidekicks.
Okay, I think for the to help you out here, I think the building, the superhero hideouts are always really cool. Okay. So I think for the sidekicks, it should just look like a generic office building.
Yeah, it could be.
And honestly, you know, just to keep with the theme, because the sidekicks always came from the middle of nowhere, USA. So why don't you put it in Erie, Pennsylvania?
Yeah, that could work too. You could just do it at some random office park in Erie, Pennsylvania.
Exactly. I mean, there you go. That's the ultimate sidekick Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Okay. We could do that.
And I definitely agree. People with type A personalities, like, charge them triple.
Yeah, I will charge more. I'm not sure how much more yet, but
triple could work. At least triple.
Yeah, that's fine. And then I guess at this Hall of Fame, we'll have... Well, obviously, they have like statues of all the sidekicks. but the statues would be like twice their normal size. So they'll be like giants.
Okay.
Just because, you know, they could use a boost.
Now, as part of the induction, does the sidekick get like a small 1/32nd model of their own statue?
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. We can give them that.
Just rub it in that they're only deserving of the smaller statue?
Yeah.
Boy, I am feeling extra evil today.
And the statues will always have the sidekick looking up.
Oh, that is perfect.
I'll be designed that way.
So definitely this one has a little bit more potential than the Drug Lord Hall of Fame.
I don't know. I mean, frankly, the Drug Lord Hall of Fame sounds fascinating.
Fascinating, yes. Hard to keep a steady profit, yes. Odds of you being able to retire without being shot? Hell no.
Those are just details.
Yeah, but I think you want to stay alive.
Yeah, I suppose. Okay, so that's Hall of Fame number two. That's
number two. Which, oh wow, that's funny.
I didn't realize that.
That is ironic that the sidekick is number two. Okay, that one, man, number three.
That was unintentional, but wow.
Number three is going to have to work hard to unseat that now.
Number three is different.
Just like its creator.
Sure. Number three is really simple. I figured I should have like a really family friendly one because of the Drug Lord one. Kind of feel bad about that one.
Kind of.
Not really, but okay. We'll pretend I did.
Right.
And I don't think the sidekick one wasn't enough to make up for the Drug Lord Hall of Fame.
Yeah, so. You still have more penance for that one. Yeah. So, okay, what are you going to do here?
I'm going to create a Hall of Fame for dessert.
Well, okay, I already see one problem with this before you start describing it.
Okay.
There's going to be no cheesecake in your Hall of Fame because cheesecake is the ultimate dessert.
Are you kidding? Cheesecake's in the first induction class.
Oh.
And you could have more than one kind.
You francophonic bacon-loving bastard.
I'm not sure if that's a compliment or an insult.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That would have required you to actually watch Mystery Science Theater 3000 to get the reference.
Yeah, definitely didn't watch that.
Okay, so run me through anyway. Run me through your worse idea than Drug Lord Hall of Fame.
How is this worse than a Drug Lord Hall? I mean, the Drug Lord Hall of Fame is pretty cool, I admit. In a totally don't do drugs kids kind of way.
Okay, yeah, run me through the dessert here. Yeah, okay. Run me through the dessert.
All right. So, criteria for induction is it has to be absolutely delicious. Okay, so not just like any cheesecake will make it. It's like the best of the best cheesecake.
So like a Reese's peanut butter Butterfinger cheesecake or like with
an Eli's Oreo chocolate chip topping. Cheesecake. Potentially. Oh. It's got to just taste incredible.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to look good. It can't be a one-off. So it's not like you could just build it once and you make it into the Hall of Fame.
So the Judge Wapner cake can't make it.
Well, I mean, if it becomes a regular staple, it could.
Do you realize how hard it would be to make a consistent Judge Wapner cake?
I have no idea. I've never baked a cake.
Neither have I. I need to talk to one of my friends that does. Hey, so-and-so, can you make a Judge Wapner cake? A what?
And I guess I'm going to have a panel of judges.
I volunteer as tribute.
Okay. See, I'm debating who should be on the committee to elect desserts to the Hall of Fame because on the one hand, you know, the obvious answer would be like get the best pastry chefs and, you know, dessert chefs in the world.
No. You get the most critical people ever. So you go ahead and get Gordon Ramsay.
Well, here's the problem with getting any professional chefs. I like a lot of desserts that are highly processed. The more processed, the better.
Okay.
No decent chef who takes pride in his work is going to agree with me on who to or what to elect to this Hall of Fame.
Okay. Actually, I think I know one that would.
Unless we have, you know, multiple categories, you know, the professional chefs can vote on some and then I vote on everything.
You could bring in Alton Brown.
Never watched him. I mean, no, I've heard of him, but
I think he would actually agree with you. One of the shows he does is Cutthroat Kitchen.
Okay.
Where he has them do like make pancakes. but the contestants can bid to sabotage the other contestants. Like, you can make pancakes, but you have to make all of your cooking utensils out of aluminum foil. Like, your pots, your pans, your stirring utensils, your pouring utensils, all has to be made out of aluminum foil.
Okay.
Or you can make fondue, but you can only use Cheese Whiz.
I should probably check this show out sometime.
You really should. Cutthroat Kitchen. Right. It's amazing.
I guess we'll have some chefs that will help elect inductees. Maybe we'll have some kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because kids have pretty good opinions on desserts.
And then you'll have me.
Sure. Why not?
Dude, it's dessert.
Yeah. Okay.
I didn't get fat for nothing. Come on.
All right. And certainly I'm going to be part of this group of voters.
Well, you already said you're the top of the voter pyramid. So right. We are the first vote. You are the final vote.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good concept.
Yeah. Yeah. So I might also be the first vote too. If I don't like
you
guys picked.
Double vote. You only get one vote.
It's my Hall of Fame, man.
It's your Hall of Fame, but okay, fine. You get two votes.
I'm not sure where I'm going to locate this. I'm not sure what a good place would be.
Okay.
I mean, if Willy Wonka had his chocolate factory, maybe we can do it there, but.
Well, okay. Does it have to be based in the U.S.?
No.
Munich.
Why Munich?
German chocolate is best chocolate. Munich is an amazing city.
I've only been in the airport. I haven't been outside.
Oh, you're missing out. If you actually get a chance to vacation there, do it.
All right. Well, maybe Munich. We'll see. I do know what the Hall of Fame is going to be like, though.
It's going to look like?
Yeah, it's going to be completely edible. So it's going to be in a giant gingerbread house.
You have to do it in Munich then.
With giant, city block long.
Oh, dude, could you imagine a giant gingerbread house with German chocolate oozing off the rooftop?
Yeah, and we'll have licorice handles for doors or for door handles, and it'll just be awesome. So I'm not sure if Munich's the right place because we need to do it somewhere where the climate is pretty temperate year round.
Okay.
Unless we're going to enclose this giant gingerbread house under the world's largest dome.
You know where we could do it?
Where's that?
I hear some guy is building a giant igloo in Vegas.
It would fit in there too.
There you go. People who wonder, every episode of Hypothetical somehow works its way into a previous episode.
Yeah, to some degree.
One way or another.
Yeah. So the Hall of Fame will be in this world's largest gingerbread house. We'll have interactive exhibits where you can make desserts, taste the desserts, guided tours on the history of various desserts.
Medical staff on hand to revive you from the coma that you went into for trying all the desserts.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm also going to create a partnership with Weight Watchers or something to open up a shop right next door.
Honestly, what you should do is pour some of your profits into some of the sci-fi books I've been reading have nanobots that go through and clear the plaque out of your system.
Okay, but I'm looking for some real solutions here.
Dude, have faith in nanotechnology, man.
Yeah, well, it's not ready yet, so.
Well, it's not ready yet because you're not investing in it, Michael.
Yeah. And then we're also going to have, I figure at least one Hall of Fame should have animatronics in it. So we're going to have animatronic mascots from famous desserts. So the Keebler elves.
Oh, God. Have your own version of It's a Small World, but you've got the Keebler elves in right. Their tree, and the tree is completely edible.
The M&M characters. Maybe the characters that are the M&Ms will have animatronic versions of them.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Yeah. Those are the only dessert ones I could think of off the top of my head. But I'm sure there's more.
The Cadbury Bunny.
Sure. Why not?
Peeps.
Oh, yes. Animatronic Peeps. Most definitely. I mean, if you're going
to do edible. Animatronic Peeps. Yes.
I mean, if you're going to do an It's a Small World attraction, the boats can be giant Peeps.
Oh my goodness. That is amazing.
Yeah. That would be pretty cool. And then when you're done with the ride, you can eat your boat.
A new boat made each time. Oh, wow. Move over, sidekicks. This is my favorite one.
Yeah. This is sounding better and better.
Yours is sounding better than mine.
I mean, I still want to visit the Drug Lord Hall of Fame, but this Dessert Hall of Fame, I don't know, could be pretty cool.
Honestly, it's a winner. I think you win today's episode of Hypothetical.
And the beauty of inducting desserts, they're things. You don't have to give them anything.
This is true.
So the inductees receive nothing but recognition.
Nice.
Yes. So yeah, those are my three Hall of Fames.
Okay.
You survived.
So of the four Hall of Fames mentioned today, what order would you put them in, best to, like, first to last?
See, I don't know. I've got it broke up into two tiers.
Okay. Okay. What are they?
The upper tier, the tier of my favorites, is the drug lords and the desserts, and the ones that aren't the drug lords and the desserts. So the sidekicks and the failures are still cool. I'd still go visit them, but they're not quite as cool as the drug lords and desserts.
See, for me, it's desserts are first. So I've got to give you the win on that one.
Appreciate it.
But then it's a tie between the failures and the sidekicks.
Okay.
I would actually love to see both Hall of Fames right next to each other. That way we could both profit off of that.
Sure. I would assume the sidekick Hall of Fame would have to be smaller.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That way that Hall of Fame could actually be inducted into my Hall of Fame.
Okay.
And the drug lord one, I just don't see it working.
Oh, it'll work.
You keep telling yourself that, Michael.
Until it gets caught.
Oh, speaking of getting caught, we should probably wrap it up before we get caught.
Yeah. So thanks for joining me, Jenny. I appreciate it. Where can people find you online if you want them to find you?
As always, Twitter and Instagram at TheInkedWell and YouTube.com/C/TheInkedWell. And they can support my various endeavors at Patreon.com/TheInkedWell. And if you see me on the street, don't say hi. I'm extremely shy and would probably run away in tears.
Well, that's a sad note to end on.
I know. I was trying to make up something that would actually, you know, just be awkward. And I think I hit it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Sweet.
Well, that's it for this episode of Hypothetical. Thanks for listening. And be sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at _Hypothetical. And subscribe to Hypothetical on your podcast player choice. And we'd appreciate if you can rate and review us in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Oh, and don't forget, if you have any complaints, feel free to give us a call at 937-63-HYPER. That's 937-634-9737. Or email us at hypotheticalshow@gmail.com. Until next time, this is Hypothetical.